We're turning back in our Bibles, please, to the book of Judges, chapter 3. And we're going to consider the words of verse 31 today. We read here in the verse 31, "And after him," that's after Ehud, the second judge, "after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and they also delivered Israel." With God's word open, let's just bow briefly, momentarily in prayer, seeking for the Lord's blessing and for his help today. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We bless thee for the word of God that is forever settled in heaven. We ask that thou wilt speak to each one of our hearts afresh. Lord, grant to us each one a word in season. We pray for any who are not saved. Thou wilt reveal Christ to them. For those who sadly have grown cold, Lord, reignite those embers within their hearts. Lord, bring them back to thyself. And Lord, for thy people who are seeking and striving to go through with God, we pray for a word of instruction, a word of encouragement, a word of rebuke where necessary. Lord, speak to each one, we pray. Make much of thy beloved Son, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Joshua was certainly a tremendous servant of the Lord. It was under his leadership that the children of Israel experienced many wonderful blessings. He was a man of great faith, believing and knowing that the Lord is true to his word. As the Lord had covenanted with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, so he fulfilled his promises and brought the children of Israel into their inheritance. As the children of Israel stood on the banks of Jordan, there was a new dawn in front of them, a new beginning, a new start. They were about to enter into the land of promise, the land that God had prepared for them. They were soon to go into that land that floweth with milk and with honey. There was a great multitude of people. And so for things to be done in an orderly fashion, biblically, we find that each tribe was to receive their allotted portion by the Lord. They simply just couldn't go into the land and claim whatever ground they had desired. No, the Lord gave them their particular portions. They were told of those areas that they would possess as their tribes. Joshua was a tremendous influence for good and for God amongst the people. We turn back to chapter 2. We read in verses 6 through to 8 about Joshua and that very godly influence. In Judges 2 verse 6 we read, "And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." He was a man of great faith, a man of integrity and holiness, striving and seeking to walk in the ways of the Lord, to be obedient to the Lord. What a tremendous influence. As the Lord's people, we ought to have a positive and a good influence on those of like precious faith. We ought to, in a sense, lead by example and seek and strive to live godly in Christ Jesus. Here we find that the men around Joshua, the elders as well, they too were very godly men and had a tremendous influence amongst the people. However, we find that as the children of Israel went over Jordan and into Canaan, we find that the various cities were delivered into their hands. One by one, those cities became the inheritance of God's people. Even the well-fortified city of Jericho, with those great walls, it seemed to be an impossible task to overcome. But even Jericho, the walls came down, and God gave his people the victory by faith. The Lord was undoubtedly good to his people. He had blessed them above all measure. You think of how the Lord had brought with a strong and a mighty arm. He had delivered his people out of Egypt. He had brought them out of bondage. A picture of salvation. How he had kept them and preserved them in the wilderness, and how he was now bringing his people into the fulfillment of that blessing, bringing them into the land of promise. And yet we find that the children of Israel, they erred. And sadly, they rebelled against the Lord. You see, there is that within us, our sinful nature that would go astray, that would do the wrong thing, that despite all that God has done for us and the many blessings, that we would still go our own way and do our own thing. You see, the Israelites were not only to take the cities and to possess the cities whenever they went into the land of promise. They were to take no prisoners. They were to spare no one. If you turn back with me to the book of Exodus, and it's Exodus and the chapter 23. Exodus 23 and the verse 31. In fact, we'll read verse 29, just to get the context here. And the Lord says, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. So the Lord was saying that progress was going to be made step by step, little by little. And oftentimes, that is how things progress in the work of God. And let's take heart from that. When we look back, we would have to say, yes, there were many little steps, but God has brought us such a long, vast way. But the process has been by little and little. In verse 31, the Lord says, and I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Now notice these words. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Now I go back to Judges and the chapter 1. For here the children of Israel were given very clear instruction. You're going to possess the land by little and little, but you are to drive out all of the inhabitants. You are to spare none. And that is because, of course, if you spare any of those inhabitants, they will begin to multiply, to grow, and then you'll begin to make marriages with their sons, with their daughters, and they'll begin to influence you, and you'll begin to worship their gods, those false gods. Look with me here in Judges chapter 1. Notice what happens here. Verse 27, we read, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean. Then verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Verse 31 and so on tells us how that the various tribes, they failed to obey the Lord. The Lord gave them a very direct command. You must not allow the people to dwell here. You must drive them out. There has to be a complete fresh start. Are there not times whenever the Lord speaks, and yet sadly and tragically, we feel as if we know better. Well, surely what would it matter? They're just a few in number. Well, we know the Lord has said to drive them all out, but surely it couldn't mean that much. Just to spare a few. They're just so small. And there are those times whenever we disobey the Lord, wrongly thinking, but we know better than the Lord. Whether the Lord, for instance, speaks about, in particular to young people, with regards to relationships, to be not unequally yoked together, well, sure, it wouldn't really matter that much. I'll be an influence for the other person, etc. Is there someone here today? And you've made the mistake of thinking that you've known better, even though the Word of God has given you a direct command. Well, here we find that those people became a stumbling stone. You see, it wasn't long before they began to multiply, and those nations turned the hearts of the children of Israel from the Lord. You see, whenever we willfully, whenever we deliberately disobey God, there are consequences. Very serious consequences. Notice what happened here. Judges in the chapter 2, and the verse 12, speaking of the children of Israel, now turning aside from the Lord. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. How tragic that was. Is there someone here this morning and you once walked well with God? You loved the place of prayer, the Word of God. Now your Bible's closed. Oh, the Lord delivered you. He saved you. He's married to you. You've turned aside from him. Tells us here that they, verse 12, they forsook the Lord which brought them out of the land of Egypt, followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, bowed themselves unto them, provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, despite all that the Lord had done for them. Praise God, the Lord is merciful. He is a God of all grace and the God of all mercy. And even though we don't deserve it, the Lord is merciful to us. And he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And here we find that the Lord's people here, they turned aside from him. They forsook him. And yet the Lord in mercy stepped in. God intervened. He could have just let them go on. Yet we find that the Lord in mercy raised up judges. The word judge meaning a deliverer. We read about that in chapter 2, verse 16 and 18. And the purpose of the judge to lead and to guide the people, and in that sense to bring the people to God and to be God's spokesman. Shamgar was the third judge in Israel to govern the people. It's mentioned only two times in Scripture. Here in Judges chapter 3 and the verse 31. And then over in chapter 5 and the verse 6. If you'd like to turn over to that portion. For here in chapter 5 and verse 6 we read about the days of Shamgar. What it was like in his day and generation. In chapter 5 verse 6 we read, in the days of Shamgar the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. Basically what that is stating is that the land was filled with violence and terror. It was unsafe to publicly go out in the highways. That was the state of the land. That was a time that God called Shamgar to be a judge, to be a deliverer to the people. What tremendous lessons we can learn here from his life. I want us to consider Shamgar here under the heading, doing all that we can while we can. We see here Shamgar's commission. Read about that in verse 31. After him was Shamgar. Shamgar comes to judge the people, the nation, whenever they're at a low point. Whenever they're at a point, whenever they had forsaken the Lord and turned aside from the Lord. How do we know that? We'll look at chapter 2 and the verse 19. It says, "And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them. And they bowed down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way." And basically each time when the judge died, then the people turned aside from the Lord. That godly influence was lost in the nation. And here we read about Shamgar coming out a judge. It's a time of national declension. A time whenever there is violence filling the land. It's a time of great departure from God. And it's at this point that we're introduced to Shamgar. The whole nation basically has apostatized. There isn't anyone following the Lord. It was a day of great violence. We read about that in chapter 5 and verse 6. Time of turning aside. And yet in that time of darkness, in that time whenever the children of Israel had turned aside from the Lord calls a man to stand for him. God gives a man this commission, this task of standing for truth and for righteousness. Many people have turned aside from the Lord, but Shamgar is called to stand on the Lord's side. Can I say that the Lord has called us as his people to take a similar stand? And no matter how dark the day may be, no matter what we face in our land, in our nation, God calls us to be separated unto him, separated unto the gospel. To take a stand for truth and for righteousness. To stand against all that God is against and that God hates. We would have to certainly say that there has been a departure in our land and in our nation. I know, speaking to some of the very godly old saints, they'd often talk about back in their early days, for instance, about the Sabbath day. And how I can even remember as a young boy growing up, there were certain things you just weren't permitted to do on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day. And yet we see a great departure with the shops, etc. That which is evil proclaimed to be good. That which is wholesome and good proclaimed to be wrong and unjust. We too have been commissioned by the Lord. The Lord saves us to make us different. He's given us a great commission to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. To stand for Christ's cause and for his kingdom. We need to stand up and to be counted. Need to be opposed to the ecumenical movement, for instance. We are to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers off the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. The Lord saves us to be witnesses. And we need to be reminded of this very fact. You see, the children of Israel, they forgot. They forgot where the Lord had brought them from. And there is a proneness within our own hearts just to forget. Daily, we need to bow our heads and our hearts and in thankfulness praise God for his redeeming grace. Thank you, Lord, for lifting me and for bringing me out of bondage and out of my sin. Shamgar was commissioned by the Lord. We see Shamgar's commission, but we also see his contentment here in the verse 31. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. The Philistines were undoubtedly a very powerful enemy. They were many in number. They were renowned for being a very fierce and a very powerful enemy. They had that reputation. Now it was against that strong enemy, that very powerful foe, that Shamgar, the servant of the Lord, was called to do battle with. And as he would go out against the Philistines, we would automatically think that the Lord would give to him a great army behind him. He would give to him the benefit of having a number of people standing with him. They would give to him great armory, a sword, a shield, a helmet, all the various things necessary to fight in battle. But that was not the case. Here is the equipment that the Lord furnished Shamgar with. An ox goad. An ox goad was basically a farmer's tool. It was a piece of wood, a long stick, normally about 6 to 8 feet. It was sharp at one end for prodding the oxen. It was club-like at the other for helping to guide the oxen, to beat them. So in an Ulsterman's terms, what God gave to Shamgar was an out stick. That's what he got, a stick. It's very easy, isn't it, to focus on our limitations, to focus on what we don't have, to focus on what is lacking. And so oftentimes our eyes are fixed on the circumstances, and they're fixed on the problems, and they're fixed on the difficulties, and they're fixed on the enemy, instead of having our vision fixed on the Lord. But we find here that Shamgar was content. We do not read of him murmuring, complaining. We don't read of him giving up here and saying, "Lord, what's this? How am I able to fight the Philistines with just a lump of wood, just a stick?" No, rather, we find here that he is satisfied. He is content with what the Lord has given him to use. We're told of Samson in Judges chapter 15, and the verse 15, that Samson found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. You see, it doesn't matter so much what the weapon is. Because whenever the hand of the Lord and the Spirit of God comes upon a man, a stick can become a mighty sword and a weapon in the hand of the servant of God. For little is much when God is in it. Maybe you, as a child of God today, are focused, and you have been focused on your limitations. Let me say, the devil would want us to do that. He would want us to be taken up with our insufficiencies and what we don't have and what we're not able to do. But we need to focus on Christ. We need to have our vision fixed solely and completely upon the Lord, who is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. Someone once asked C.T. Studd what was the secret of his success. And the great missionary to China said, God used him because he realized he was so weak, and therefore he was a candidate for blessing. Whenever we turn to the book of Revelation, we find that the church there at Smyrna, they didn't despise what the Lord had given to them. They didn't murmur. They didn't complain. They didn't say, "Well, you know, we haven't got enough money to complete this program. We're not able to afford to do that." They used the little that they had for God's glory. You see, the Lord would desire that we would take our little things and use them in His service. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, as we read this here portion about Shamgar, this ought to be an encouragement to every child of God today. You're saved by the grace of God. You're under the blood. You're following Christ. You're seeking to live for the Lord. This ought to really thrill your heart. And I'll tell you why. As I look at this portion here, and Shamgar had a stick. We're candidates for blessing. And the Lord would desire to bless us. You might say, well, don't even have a stick today. We have something even more powerful. The Word of God. We have God's Word in our hand. We have a mouth, a tongue to confess Christ. We have all that we need. And the Lord is able to bless that by His Spirit. So oftentimes, we are taken up with what we don't have. Shamgar's contentment. Moving along very quickly here, we also see Shamgar's confidence. You see, he was a man of great vision. He has a burden for the nation. He has a great vision. Focus. But his focus is not on the Philistines so much. His focus and his vision is upon the Lord of glory. Now, we need a vision. The Word of God reminds us that without a vision, the people perish. And of course, that verse in its context is speaking about a vision of God's Word. We need a vision of heaven, our inheritance, our home in glory. We need a vision of hell. We need a vision of the harvest field. But can I say, above all, we need a vision of Him, of Christ. I know that it's often been stated that with regards to evangelism, that in order to be moved and compelled, that we need to have a very clear vision of hell. Whilst that is important, and to think of that place that awaits those who are unconverted and unsaved, the greatest vision that you and I need is a vision of Christ. And we see and we find the Lord through His Word. Have you met with the Lord today? I want to ask you very personally, have you met with the Lord today already? Has God spoken to your heart? Have you already seen the Lord in His Word? You ought to. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Shamgar's confidence, his faith is in the Lord. We also see his courage. You see, this judge Shamgar stands in a day and generation when there's great apostasy and a turning away from God. And he's standing there, and he's standing for truth and righteousness. And he's a man of boldness and courage. And we know that because he actually goes to the Philistines. There he goes to face some 600 men, and he goes with a stick. Can you imagine the courage? Maybe he would have, we would tend to think that surely he would have waited till there wasn't as many numbers. Or maybe till he had better armory. But no, he goes with this stick, this ox goad. And it takes great courage to go in faith and to go believing. And that's what he did. Taking a stand for the Lord. Can I encourage the young people here in the church today? Take your stand for the Lord. Learn early in life to confess Christ and to tell others that you love the Lord Jesus. Never be ashamed or afraid. And I know it can be what can seem to be an overwhelming task to go into school and into university and to tell people that you're a Christian. But if you haven't done it yet, take your stand. Be bold for the Lord. Be courageous. Shamgar's courage. In closing here, I'm just moving along quickly for time is gone. We see Shamgar's conquest. The name Shamgar in the Hebrew actually means sword. What a very fitting name he had. His name means sword. And whenever we think of how the Lord and the Spirit of God came upon Shamgar and turned this ox goad into a mighty sword, we're thinking, aren't we, of course, of the sword of the Spirit and the power of God. We're thinking of the Word of God that is able to give the victory and to penetrate deep within the heart. Notice what it says here in verse 31. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he delivered Israel. He got the victory. You can picture him, can't you, going throughout the camp there of the Philistines. He spears one, he clubs another, and the Lord is coming upon him, and God is giving him the victory. Now, looking at it humanly, it's an impossibility. 600 well-trained, skilled, and armed men against one man with a stick. But you see the Lord intervening. We're reading here about a tremendous miracle, about how the Lord took this judge, blessed him, and God gave the victory. Who would have thought it possible? Then again, who would have thought it possible that a little shepherd boy going down to the brook and taking those stones would slay the great Goliath? The Lord would have us to realize the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. It's God who gives the victory. Shamgar stood for God. Are you standing for the Lord? Shamgar was satisfied. God give him a stick. You satisfied today? You content? There's so much more I need. Shamgar served the Lord, and he saw a great deliverance. What about you, child of God? What are you living for today? Who are you seeking to please? You living for the Lord? Striving to serve him? Little is much when God is in it. Do all that you can, while you can. God will give the victory. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today for Jesus' sake. Amen. 532 in closing, please. 532. We're just going to sing the first verse and the chorus only. First verse and chorus only of 532. Whilst we're singing that, I'm going to ask Reverend Wesley Madole to come to the pulpit. He's going to close our meeting in prayer for us. Great to have him here today. He was away in Israel recently. My daughter was with him on the trip. She was truly blessed, and she enjoyed fellowship with our brother and the rest of the group there. So I'm going to ask our brother to come up whilst we sing this first verse and the chorus only, please, of 532.